I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Amen. And Selena had asked me to mention also that her sister-in-law's brother, Claude, who she had mentioned for prayer for cancer, is now cancer-free, so she wanted us to know that, and also to remember her in traveling mercies as they travel around Italy. Let's pray. Lord God, we do give you thanks for the blessings that we have and that are too numerous to count, the security and love that we have with one another in our community. And we ask, Lord, that we continue to support and raise up each other through our words and our actions, and even these gifts here today will bring glory to your name. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So kind of going on with a little theme that I'm doing is today we're looking at King David, and next week we'll look at Solomon, and as I said, this is all kind of leading up to the Bible studies that we'll be having here, and I'll announce that probably next week when I figure out exactly when we can do it, of looking at the kings, the first and second kings in the Bible, but all the kings that came after, the three famous ones of Saul, David, and Solomon, and then the host of 20-some other kings that did good but didn't do so well and brought the demise of the nation of Israel. And we're going to look at that in our Bible study, but I thought we would look at these three first as we prepare for that. And so today it is David, and I'm taking one of David's psalms that comes to us from Psalm 56, and let us listen to God's word. Be merciful to me, O God, because I am under attack. My enemies persecute me all the time. All the day long, my opponents attack me. There are so many who fight against me. When I'm afraid, O Lord Almighty, I put my trust in you. I trust in God and am not afraid. I praise him for what he has done and what he has promised. What can be mere humans do to me? My enemies make trouble for me all day long. They're always thinking up of some way to hurt me. They gather in hiding places and watch everything I do, hoping to kill me. Punish them, O Lord, for their evil. Defeat those people in your anger. You know how troubled I am. You have kept a record of my tears. Aren't they listed in your book? The day I call to you, my enemies will turn back. I know this God is on my side. The Lord, whose promises I praise, in him I trust, and I will not be afraid. What can mere humans do to me? O God, I will offer you what I have promised. I will give you my offering of thanksgiving, because you have rescued me from death and kept me from defeat, and so I walk in the presence of God and in the light that shines on the living. Amen. There's that old expression that if you feel bad about yourself, listen to somebody else's story because somebody else somewhere has it worse off than you do. And that's sometimes helpful, but I have to admit that one time in my life, an experience of like that happened, and I wasn't really going through a hard time. When I went to this place, I realized how fortunate I was. And as a pastor, I go to hospitals all the time, but one time I had to go to Pittsburgh's Children's Hospital. Huge, huge, brand new hospital, beautiful building, bright colors everywhere, big open lobby. It's just fantastic looking building. Put a lot of thought in the architecture. You know, and of course, going there, I'm like, wow, this place is really, you know, neat, and get the number of the person I need to see. And I get in the elevator, and I meet up with somebody who recognized me, and I wasn't really sure who they were, but they're like, oh, you're our guest and the pastor at Second Pres. I'm like, oh, yeah, and we talked. And I made this mistake. I said, so why are you here? Children's Hospital. He says, well, my grandson has cancer. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and we talked about that a little bit and told him I would be praying for him. I get off the elevator, and as I step off the elevator, over to my left is a couple crying in tears, and I go down further, and I look in a room, and there's a family around the bed of a child, and I realize every single person in this hospital is dealing with some kind of tragedy. You know, you don't go to the children's hospital, you know. I mean, if you go to a hospital regularly, it could be for a birth or somebody getting better, but at children's hospital, it was hard. It was one of the hardest visits I made because I knew that everybody I met in the elevator or in the hallway was going through a really, really hard time. And this psalm from David, 56, I think is a psalm that can help all of us through the difficult times of our lives, the struggles that we might face, and the struggles that we face within our lives and in our world around us, whether it's immediate in our community or farther away. Because David was certainly going through all sorts of problems. Psalm 56 almost sounds like he's paranoid. He says, all day long they twist my words. They're always plotting to harm me. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps. They're eager to take my life. If you and I said that to somebody repeatedly, they would probably say, you might want to go see a psychiatrist. But this was true of David. David was really in a battle. During this phase, when this psalm is believed to have been written, David was dealing with the fact that he was about to be king. But Saul was still king. So there was this transition of power and who was going to be king. And, you know, David had been, you know, anointed by Samuel early on to be king when he was just a little shepherd boy. And now as things began to build and as he began to develop his following, Saul began to counter him. And there was this huge battle that was going on. And what was happening in the midst of this is that David was also dealing with the Philistines who were siding with Saul, and there were just all sorts of problems. And if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 21, we begin to see what is going on in David's life and the struggle he had. And it's kind of interesting because in the midst of all this battling, David makes some mistakes. We talked about Saul last week just going so fast and so hard that he was missing God and not listening to him and made some mistakes. Well, if you know anything about David, he made his share of mistakes as well. But in this section, in this time of Psalm 56, David made some really unusual mistakes, similar to Saul's, but yet even maybe a little bit more weird. When he was dealing with the Philistines and Saul's battle, they ran out of food, and his army didn't have enough food, and they was trying to figure out what he did. So he went to this priest who had kind of this temple, the tabernacle for the Jewish people. One of the things that they had on display was bread. It was kind of called showbread, and it was a symbol of God providing. And so there was usually five or so loaves of bread every day displayed, and they were to be not eaten, just showbread. They were to be on display. And David came in and convinced the priest to take that bread, which was sacrilegious and contrary to all the religions, and he took that bread to feed his army, feed his men. And so that didn't go over very well. And then he was somewhat captive by some leaders. And so instead of dealing with it as a leader, as a king, he pretended he was mad. He started ranting and raving and spitting. And the Bible even talks about the saliva was running down his beard. You know, he was just acting like a crazy man. And finally, the king that had him looked at him and says, and literally what he said in the Bible is, don't I have enough crazy people in my kingdom? You bring me another one? So they release him. He got him free. So David does some bizarre things to deal with his problems. Fortunately, none of us have ever done any bizarre things to deal with our problems. And it's kind of amazing how logic and sensibility leaves the room when we're faced with a huge problem and we begin to get so focused and fixated on that we begin to do things that later on we're like, What were we thinking? And I'm sure David looked back at this time and wondered what he was thinking. Maybe that prompted his psalm, Psalm 56. As we remember it and listen to it again, there's, I think, an order to it that kind of counters what David really needed to do in his relationship with God and also with these problems. It starts off by this, you know, it starts off by saying, men are after me, pursuing me all day long. My slanders pursue me. They're attacking me. You know, first two verses talks about his problem. And then he gets to verse 3 and says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Now, if I was the editor of Psalm 56, I think a more appropriate way of dealing with this, and we're going to look into this in a little bit more detail today, is I would take in verse 3 and 4 and put that first. When I'm afraid, I trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? I would have started off with that and then moved into, look at all these problems I have. Because I think that order is imperative for us when we're dealing with problems in our lives. Where we start determines where we end up in our personal crisis and problems. For so many of us, when we deal with a problem, we fixated on that problem. People are after us. People are slandering us. People are doing this, that, and on and on and on. And then we come to the point of saying, but I trust in God. There's a great passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, that, you know, I would call you to not only look at, but hold on to and memorize. It goes like this. Rejoice in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Rejoice in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And I think the Apostle Paul wrote this in the right order. Because this order, for me, gives us a sense of how we can move forward during difficult and of times that we are afraid or afflicted. And I think this is the way David handled things for the most part. Because he did have this hope. He trusted in God and knew of God's promises and relied on God's promise. But let me focus on hope here, where it says rejoice in hope. Hope is not, I think, anymore a very good word to use within the scriptures. Because when we hear the word hope, it is almost like a Christmas gift kind of idea. I hope I get those new skis. Or I hope that the diagnosis isn't bad. Or I hope that, you know, she'll like me. It's a guess. It's a wish that we use probably 99% of the time in our lives when we're talking about hope. But when the Bible speaks about hope, it's not a wish. Actually, it could be a better word that is used is assurance. When we hear the word hope, whether it's in the New Testament or Old Testament, it is about we can be assured. We have the assurance. And so when Paul says, and he talks about rejoicing in hope, he's saying rejoice in assurance. Rejoice in what you know about God. And particularly from the New Testament, we know that we have this Jesus. We have our salvation. We have God's presence with us. We have this salvation that, as David said, what can humans do to us? What can people do to us? Because we have this position, this place before God Almighty as His children. So we can rejoice, first off, in that assurance. Now, here's for me the big thing. If we are consistently doing that, if we are consistently living our lives focused on the fact of our position and where we are in a position in relationship with God and are secure in our relationship in Jesus Christ, we can rejoice in that assurance. And if we are doing that, in all honesty, what problems are really going to be problems. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is that all these afflictions Paul talks about are momentarily, and they're building for us an eternal glory. It's one I use a lot in services at funerals, but it's a truth that we need to connect to. That oftentimes we think that the afflictions that we face in our lives is pulling us further away from God. And because of that, our starting point is not our assurance. Our starting point has become our afflictions. We start with, woe is me. Look at the list. Look at the problems I'm facing. Look at the insecurities I have. Look at all the things that are going on in the news here. Look at all the things that are going on in my family. Look at, you know, we can spend all day going through all the problems that all of us face every single day. And when we focus on that, then we become helpless. So just like David, or we do crazy things like act mad and start spitting all over the place, or like David and like Paul, we can have this foundation and assurance and rejoice in this hope. And then, as Paul says, and then we are patient with afflictions. What is being patient in afflictions like? Well, first off, you're not spitting all over the place. But you have it in a perspective. You have it in an understanding that this is a slight momentary problem in my life that is eternal. This is a light momentary problem in my life under all the things that God has given to me through Jesus Christ. It's just a small problem. Like always, I like one of the things that one of my professors did in class one day. He walked in, drew this dot in the middle of the blackboard, and said, "What do you see?" Anybody? You see a black dot. What about all this blank space here? You see that? And that's kind of what happens when we skip that sense of assurance that we have and we focus on our afflictions. We see the black dot, not everything else. So start with rejoicing in hope, assurance. Be patient then in our afflictions. And then faithful in prayer. Meaning that, a couple things, that if we are abundant in this assurance, then we're going to be able to pray. Pray with a sense of certainty and security. But also, in that sense of prayer, I think it has this idea that prayer is not just these words that we send up to God, but prayer is also the way that then we live, the way that we act out that faith. And if we're faithful in acting out our faith and through prayer and actions, then we're going to be a people who are able to live and walk through this life, even though there's all these insecurities and problems out there, but walk with a sense of confidence, a sense of peace, and be able to be that witness for Christ. You know, 9/11 is a prime example and a prime time for all of us to think about the insecurities that we have in this world. Whether it is on a global sense or just a personal sense, there's a lot of things that we can worry about. A lot of things in this world that are not right, that need fix. And yet, the biggest thing that we can do for ourselves, and I think for the world, is to rejoice in this assurance that we have. Be patient through these afflictions, and then walk faithfully in prayer with that confidence that we have as followers in Christ. When David did that, then he was truly a man after God's own heart. When you and I do it, then we are a man or a woman truly after God's own heart, no matter what circumstance, no matter what problem we have. It might alleviate some of the superstitions that we have. Because so many times when we feel like we're out of control, we want to do something that we think will fix it. When we start at the wrong place and we're looking at our afflictions, then we grab a hold of most anything and try to fix it that way, or think that this thing will fix it, and we get frustrated when it don't. I mean, one of my favorite superstitions that I think is so bizarre is that if you want to sell your house, you get a statue of Saint Joseph, okay? And then you take him out the backyard and you bury Joe upside down in the yard. And that's supposed to sell your house. Now, okay, first off, that's a bizarre superstition. But I think it's even more bizarre when Protestants do it, all right? And that's where I heard it from. Some Methodist person was saying, yeah, we couldn't sell our house, so we buried St. Joseph in the backyard. I'm like, why? That's because they weren't patient in affliction. It was because they were not rejoicing in the hope, the assurance that they have that God can take care of this and that they can be patient as they wait to see God at work and then be faithful in that walk, in that prayer walk. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you that we do have this amazing assurance in Jesus Christ. That not only does he take care of the spiritual things and the eternal things, but also you are involved in our everyday lives, in the struggles that we face personally, in the struggles that we see within the world around us, and that we have this assurance. And that assurance then enables us to live out fully what you want us to be and to do during those difficult times around us. Guide us, Lord. Open our eyes and hearts that we may see that in those times and act upon that and be your people in this world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.